Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. This show is not like any other show out there. We tell the truth. No one controls what we say, and we're on a mission to expose what is going on in government on both sides of the aisle and in between. You can go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of the show, and thanks for listening in.
More.
The Kate Daly Show, because all opinions matter, and George Soros will pay good money for them. The show starts now.
That the Constitution's the best document in political history?
Greatest political document ever.
There you go.
Thank you.
I want to know, how is it possible to believe that when it's based on racist principles? They describe indigenous peoples as merciless Indian savages. They don't describe African Americans as full people, and they don't even recognize other people of color and other minorities that we see today. So I just want to know how you think it's possible to believe that's such a great document.
Thank you for the question. Where does it say that in the document? No, keep her. Where does it say that in the document?
I'm sorry, what?
Where does it say what you said in the actual document?
I'm not entirely sure.
It doesn't.
No.
That clip. I really do. I absolutely love that clip. And do you know why? Because that is a college student saying to Charlie Kirk at one of his speeches that this is what it says about indigenous peoples in the Constitution, that they're all racist savages. And he says, well, tell me where it says that. And she can't answer. Do you know why she can't answer? Because she hasn't read it. Boy, do we have a growing issue with this across the country. And lots of accusations. Nobody's actually reading anything, you know, important, you know, like the Constitution. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Uncle Milty is not feeling well, and so he will not be joining us today. But I have Dr. Pesta on, and so we wish him well. Prayers for Uncle Milty. And, of course, Dr. Pesta joins me. I'm so happy about you joining me in this hour, because we have so much to talk about and educate on. This is going to be fantastic. Welcome to the show, Duke.
Thank you. I'm really looking forward to it. Shout out to Milty. I hope you get better. Drinking all night at your age, Milty, is never a good idea.
I love that. Oh, I love you, Duke. So Duke joins me, and the Dr. Duke Show, you've just got to catch the show. There's no other show like it, and you can actually view this right from the Kate Daly Show page on Facebook. It plays live right after I get off the air. It plays live in his time zone and in my time zone. And I think what you're doing out there is such a fantastic work in educating. When I hear this college student say that indigenous peoples are in the Constitution as savages, racist savages, and here Charlie Kirk is saying, where does it say that? She can't answer. So she, you know, the crowd starts roaring because she cannot answer such an accusation. And I'm sure you find this a lot, especially given your profession. And for those that don't know, that are new to the show, you are a professor at a college. And what you're doing is pretty wonderful, because you're educating in truth, and you're one of the rare few that are doing it.
Well, thank you. I am a professor of English at a major university.
Yes,
I've tenured. Been a professor for 25 years, and this Indigenous People Day really drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. For years, this has bothered me. The lies about Columbus, and there's a brand new book coming out, by the way, by Mary Graybar, which challenges Howard Zinn's socialist view of history. And one of her chapters deals with the lies about Columbus. Columbus was not a slave trader. Columbus did not own slaves. Columbus was not the mass murderer. I get that certainly the conquistadors and the 100 years after Columbus did some bad things, but he didn't. And so this is a big lie, and it's one of my absolute bugaboos, because to understand what's happening to Columbus is to understand how the liberal mind works, and it's not a pretty picture. And to that end, Kate, I have a prepared little monologue on this issue.
Yes, you do. In fact, we're going to play it right now. Here we go. All right. I cannot wait.
All right, so here's what I propose. Since we're getting rid of Columbus Day because, you know, kids don't know anything about Columbus, and Columbus has just become synonymous with any bad thing that's ever happened to a Native American, however much BS that is, I've decided, since we have concluded that this is now an indigenous people celebration. What did we do for the last 20 years when Columbus Day rolled around? We talked about how evil Columbus was. We talked about how evil Western culture was. We talked about rape and genocide and murder and slavery. So we, in order to be absolutely fair, to treat Native Americans with the same respect and intellectual dignity that we treated Western culture, let's use this Indigenous Peoples Day to talk about exactly how the Native Americans behaved. Did you know that Native Americans, in particular, the Creek, the Cherokee, the Choctaw, the Chickasaw, and the Seminole, or the Five Tribes, participated in chattel and race-based slavery? Yes, black people. Many Native American tribes practiced some form of slavery over their history well before the European introduction of African slavery into North America. Slavery was a mainstream idea practiced by many Native Americans for about 1,000 years. Native American groups often enslaved war captives, genocide, right, war prisoners, whom they primarily used for small-scale labor. In other words, they conquered other tribes, they took slaves, and they put them to forced labor. Other tribes, however, would stake slaves in gambling situations when they had nothing else with which they could barter and would put them into servitude for a short time and in some cases for life. They would gamble slaves instead of money. Captive slaves were also sometimes tortured as part of various religious rites, Aztecs. And these sometimes involved ritual cannibalism. Hey, just like Native Americans ate every part of the buffalo, I'm sure they ate every part of the captured slave they ate. During times of famine, some Native Americans would also temporarily sell their children to obtain food. When the Europeans made contact with Native Americans, they began to participate also alongside the Europeans in the black African slave trade. The Haida, oh, let's not forget our friends the Eskimos, Native Americans, right? The Haida and the Tlingit, who lived along southeast Alaska's coast, were traditionally known as fierce warriors and fierce slave traders, raiding for slaves as far as California. I wonder if California will ban travel to Alaska now. In their society, slavery was hereditary. After slaves were taken as prisoners of war, children of slaves were fated to be slaves themselves among some Pacific Northwest tribes. Seattle, I'm talking about you. As many as 1/4 of the population were slaves. They were typically captured by raids on enemy tribes, colonialism, or purchased on intertribal slave markets. Yes, that's right. Tribes would get together and they would sell their slaves at market prices. Slaves would often be killed in potlatches to signify the owner's contempt for their slaves as nothing but property. Various tribes also practiced debt slavery or imposed slavery on tribal members who had committed crimes. Full tribal status would be restored as the enslaved worker worked off their obligations to the tribal society. In other words, like European culture, slaves could become free men if they worked hard enough for the masses. Obtaining prisoners was also a strong interest for Native American warriors, as for the qualification of being considered brave. To be brave was to take prisoners, was to take slaves. This was especially an interest of male warriors in various tribes. Other slave-owning tribes of North America, including the Comanche of Texas, the Creek of Georgia, the fishing societies, such as the Yurok, who lived in Northern California, and the Pawnee and the Klamath. In other words, everything you say Columbus did, most of which he did none of, Native American tribes have been doing for 1,000 years before the first pale face set foot here. So let's celebrate indigenous people the same way we celebrated Columbus Day for the last 25 years by pointing out that they're brutal killers, enslavers, violent and vicious, irrespective of human life. They were conquerors, they were colonists, and don't even get me started. If we're going to expand the definition of Native American to include indigenous peoples of South America, you have the Aztec, the Inca, and the Maya, three empires. According to progressive ideology, empire building is bad. And empires, as we know, the empires of the Aztec, the Inca, and the Maya, were built on slave blood. They were built on human sacrifice. They were built on war and calamity. So by all means, now that we have donned Columbus Day, we have decided to name it Indigenous Peoples Day. Let's get rid of it. Let's start an immediate campaign to get rid of Indigenous Peoples Day because it is full of nothing but the celebration of genocide and colonialism and war and rape and oppression and slavery. And let's just have one day that we call honoring the slave day. How about that? Slaves of every color, from white slavers in Johannesburg all the way to the slaves that were taken by Native Americans. We're going to honor those slaves, and we're going to get away from this BS. Because, again, if we're going to treat your Indian tribes the same way we treated Columbus, we're going to spend our time pointing out the incessant violence that built your culture, not just ours. Thanks for playing, Tony Evers, and happy Indigenous Peoples Day to all of you.
Oh, my gosh. That was, if there was the equivalent on the radio of a mic drop, I would do a mic drop right now. That was amazing. Dr. Duke, you know, wow.
It just goes to show you that what our kids are missing is history.
Yes.
They don't know their history. And that's why history is so destroyed by liberals, progressives. If we taught kids actual history, mm-hmm. We would definitely be teaching slavery. If we taught kids official history, mm-hmm. we would continue to teach them about the American slave trade,
yep.
but we would also put it in the context of an ongoing global slave trade that is alive and well today in Africa. Black Africans in places like Somalia are being shipped off mm-hmm. as chattel slaves by Muslims to Middle Eastern countries. It's happening now. And our kids are so frustrated. They hate America so much mm-hmm. for what it did 150 years ago. They have no animus whatsoever to the rest of the world, including places where it's still going on. That's why they hate their country. And that's why they think every other country is better.
Oh, my gosh. So true. In fact, let me play this Louis C.K. Clip. It's 1 minute long, and then I'll explain it in just a moment. Let me play this. Here we go.
I really think that white people are from, like, another planet. Because when we came to America, it was so nice. It was just Indians. And they weren't even Indians. We called them that by accident. And we still call them that. Like, we knew in a month that it wasn't Indians. We came here, they're like, hi. And we're like, hey, you're Indians, right? And they're like, no. No, this is India, right? No, it's not. It's a totally other place. You're not Indians? No. Ah, you're Indians. You're Indians for hundreds of years after. We ruined everything here. This was the great, it was just coast to coast.
We ruined everything here. Did you guys hear that?
Beautiful. And all the humans were just walking around.
They were all just walking around.
Just
painted faces, just walking around. Nothing much going on. And then we came over, the mean people.
Sleep on the grass. And
hold on 1 second.
Swim and do a little dance. That was the whole
And they just did a little dance. And that was the whole country. You know, what's interesting about that clip is that Louis C.K. basically says, you know, us white people are from a different planet. And, you know, they were just walking around with painted faces. And we came over and we just, here we are. That's what's so sad about so many kids that listen to that kind of stuff, that get that idea, and they don't understand what you just explained so brilliantly, Duke. They do not understand it.
We'll talk more after the break.
Okay. I had to play that because that's the liberal mindset that you were talking about. That's exactly what Louis C.K., you know, was doing too. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show. More with Dr. Duke Pesta.
Balance of nature. Changing the world one life at a time.
Hey, okay. Let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
The balance of nature really works, man. I mean, I work constantly on the road, and I put in 60 hours in 4 days, 15 hours a day, and I'm telling you, this stuff works. I don't get sick. I have plenty of energy. I'm 46 years old. I'm an old man, and I can't tell you how grateful I am to have this stuff. So I just want you to know that this stuff really works, and I'm grateful that this Dr. Howard guy figured it out. So I'll leave it at that.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now and become a preferred customer, which gives you our best pricing and free shipping. And we'll take off an additional $25 on your first order. This will be a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Good morning.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450.
Oh, Columbus,
this is the Kate Daly Show.
Ocean in 1492 with the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria too.
Aw, so lovely. Welcome. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Welcome on back. I've got Dr. Duke Pesta with me today. Before I go there, I also want to mention, get over to the website, katedalyradio.com. There's so many podcasts, long and short, that you can listen to depending on what you have time for that day. And I suggest that you share those. Please share those. I'm always humbly, steeped in gratitude for that. Share those with other people so that we can get America educated. I'm going to throw that speech that he just made on a podcast. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, because that was so amazing. I just hope every American could listen to that speech. If you get to the website, katedalyradio.com, you'll notice Balance of Nature. Make sure that you are taking that supplement, because it's 11 servings of fruits and vegetables. I love this product. I've been taking it for a while now, and so is my husband. And we're sold on this thing. This is so good. We feel so much better. Let me just tell you, my husband plays golf. He walked 18 holes the other day, and that used to be hard for him. It's not anymore. And now it's just a whiz. So let me just tell you that it works. And you can get it too by putting in the code KATE. You can actually get it for $25 off, and it makes it really super affordable. And you're getting all that nutrition dialed down into dehydrated fruits and vegetables that you can pop down and get down real quick. 15 seconds later, man, you are on your day. And so make sure you're getting that and use the code KATE. I'm back here with Dr. Duke Pesta. And I just have to say, when I said mic drop on that speech, he gave an entire speech. And so if you miss this and you're just tuning in right now, you have got to get the podcast today, because all kids should need to listen to this. They should have to listen to this, because this is the truth about who we are here in this country, and not the liberal lie. And the reason I played Louis C.K. was because even though it was comedy, that's what he's selling. The story of there was just a bunch of really harmless people, and all of a sudden we showed up, you know, terrible people. This is what they're selling. And I know Dr. Duke Pesta knows this more than anybody. That was an incredible speech.
Thank you. And I mean, the point of it all was, it's time to get rid of Indigenous Peoples Day. What are you saying, Dr. Pesta? We just eliminated that evil white exploiter, Columbus. We just got rid of him. And now you're racistly going after Indigenous People Day. No. The purpose of Indigenous People Day is as a balance to Columbus. Columbus never enslaved anybody. Mm-hmm. Columbus never murdered anybody. Columbus was not a monster. He was somebody who did something that everybody said couldn't be done. Everybody believed in Europe that the world ended once you sailed into the Atlantic. He defied that and discovered something that was completely unknown to Europe. That's a big, big deal. He initiated the clash of conflicts of cultures that was going to happen sooner or later anywhere. And sooner or later, the two cultures would have come into contact. And ultimately, Columbus did it in a relatively gentle way. Mm-hmm. Having said that, this drive to replace Indigenous Peoples Indigenous Peoples Day for Columbus Day, for the last 20 years, guys, we have done nothing but mock Columbus and use it today as an example to call attention to European slavery, okay? Now that the indigenous people have their day, now that Columbus is being deposited on the ash heap of progressive history, it's now time to look at the Native Americans. We would be paternalistic and racist if we didn't treat American Indian culture the same way we treated the European Columbus. And my speech was just a 5-minute long account of the long history of slavery and colonialism and torture and oppression and empire building that marks out 1,000 years of Native American history before the first pale face ever set foot here.
Bravo. Bravo. Thank you. Now, for the hardcore leftist, if they were listening to this program and they said, no, I've been told this completely other story. I've been told something totally different. You are up in the night. Where do you get your information? How do you know what you know?
If a liberal says to you, I've been told, mm-hmm. you say, I'm not going to talk to you again till you read a book, right?
Okay.
I get that your socialist hipster doofus professor in his Birkenstocks told you that Native Americans were innocent and Europeans were always guilty, but put down the bong water, dude, and open a book. That's the first thing I would tell you. Okay. And the second thing I would tell you is you could, even a site as liberal as Wikipedia and as often unreliable as Wikipedia, if you just type in Native American atrocities or atrocities committed by Native Americans, you will find online a host of examples. But any serious serious scholar of Native American history, particularly pre-Columbian Native American history, will talk about what Indians did. And just take one part of what I said. Mm-hmm. Take the Aztec, the Inca, and the Maya, the Central and South American Indians. They are, of course, American, and they are, of course, Indian. North America, South America, Central America, these were Indian tribes. And we know for a fact that those were three great empires. In fact, Native American scholars brag about them, right? How advanced the Maya, the Inca were in terms of calendars, in terms of mathematics, how their architectural skills were really, and it's true, they were remarkable people. But those empires were built just as much on the blood of slaves as the Egyptian pyramids were, or the North Atlantic slave trade with Africa. Fact is that the Maya, the Inca, and the Aztec built their great cultures on the backs of prisoners of war, slave labor. They ripped their hearts out of the prisoners to sun gods. They were incredibly brutal. They were terrible warriors. They were fierce. They conquered tribes and slaughtered people. They expanded their empires at the blood of other tribes. And why is it that everything Columbus was reputed to do but didn't do, enslavement, colonialism, is everything that these tribes did do? And yet for Native Americans, it's heroic, right?
Right.
The Native Americans were heroic. Those empires were a signal, a sign of how important and advanced Native cultures could be. Yet when what is Columbus accused of? Mm-hmm. Killing people, colonizing people, and killing people in the name of his God. That's exactly what he's accused of. Again, he didn't do any of those things, but the Aztec did. They colonized dozens of tribes that had surrounded them. They conquered them, and they offered the hearts of those prisoners to the sun god on the top of their temples. That which Columbus is accused of but didn't do is that exactly which these Native American empires did, and somehow it's cool for them, and it's evil when Columbus did it.
Yeah. Yeah. They were just fighting for their territory, so you could do it any way you wanted, but that was a heroic thing, right?
It's like Chicago. When a white lunatic 18-year-old kills a couple dozen people, that's an instance of white supremacy. But when you've got black violence on black violence killing the vast majority of blacks in this country, we don't talk about it. This is when Native Americans kill Native Americans, button your lip, white boy, you're not allowed to comment. That's just their civilization, right?
Right.
The same thing with what goes in Chicago. No one cares about the slaughter of blacks by other blacks because it's happening in Chicago. It's liberal city, black people killing black people. It's the crime that will not be spoken of. Meanwhile, again, when every random white, crazy white kid once every 10 years shoots up a school, that's white supremacy. This is how the left uses history, right? Whenever it's a conservative issue, whenever it's a traditional American issue, you know, the Civil War, we have to make enemies and demons now out of Robert E. Lee, out of every aspect of Southern culture, even though there was heroism on that side, even though there was ideological correctness to some degree on those sides. Right. So some of those Confederate soldiers were fighting for the rights of states at the expense of a federal government, which is in itself we would consider that laudable, right? Yet we have to demonize them. But notice when you get someone like Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger, who was a vicious eugenicist and a racist, who wanted abortion for on demand because she wanted to kill off black and brown skin babies. She was literally a eugenicist in the line of Hitler. But because she created an organization that is incredibly progressive and lefty, not only are we not calling for that incitation to be pulled down, we're demanding and supporting it. So it all depends on who the racist is, right? One more point before I stop ranting here. Elizabeth Warren is a classic example. If she were a white Republican who usurped an affirmative action position from an actual Native American, she would not even be allowed to be a candidate. She would have been drummed and ridiculed out of this election. But because she's a radical leftist socialist, she's still in.
Oh, 100%, yes. And let's look at big picture. Let's go back to a statement that you made, and that was that slavery had gone on for eons before Columbus even set foot, right? But let's look at this. Columbus sets foot, right? He paves the way for the Constitution to happen. And soon after, we see America as the only country that actually puts an end to slavery. No other civilization really on their own merit had actually done that, correct? I mean,
well, the British had outlawed slavery, 70, 80 years before. And of course, we were a colony of the Brits. But certainly we were the first country in the history of the world to fight a war to end it. Yeah. And you made a really great point, Kate, about the slavery before. Here's one thing that blows my students' minds.
What's that?
Right. You know the whole Black Athena movement from the 70s, the idea that African culture, before, while white people were still in caves and dangling from trees, half monkeys, those huge black civilizations on the African continent, and that rather disgusting liberal mistruth, right?
Sure.
Okay, I play along with my kids. Okay, if well before white people had even evolved into actual human beings, they were still monkeys, that African societies were great and wonderful. Well, the first great slaveholding nation in the history of man was the Egyptians, an African people, who built the pyramids, black slaves. So, okay, if you want to make the argument that well before Europeans could even walk upright, African cultures were ruling the world, then congratulations. You, African blacks are the first major slaveholders in the history of the world. Congratulations.
Yep, yep. And on the heels of the year 1600, one of the first that came over here on the boat actually bought his, or finally ended his indentured servitude, because they had that for about 7 or 8 years, sometimes 10 years, sometimes longer. But they actually had to be an indentured slave for that period of time, and then they were set free. It was a black man who then got himself free and then started owning black slaves, a black man owning black slaves, who was the first one to ever say, I want the slave for life. So that was kind of a, people don't even realize that. It's kind of an interesting little tidbit.
Obviously white, but white colonialists were not venturing into African jungles and rounding up tribal slaves. Tribal chieftains did that, right? Oftentimes, tribes that went to war against other tribes in Africa would take prisoners, then they would sell those prisoners to the white slavers. The idea that you had huge white parties roaming through the jungles trying to hunt down black people is nonsense. But that's another instance of our history that we don't want to talk about. And when you and look, I'm not trying to excuse American slavery. It was really brutal. But here's another thing. Most people don't realize that less than 5% of American households, less than 5% of American households ever actually owned slaves. And so consequently, the vast majority of American households, the vast majority, well over 95%, never owned a slave in the colonial period. And yet, whenever something happens with the progressives, see, not all communists are killers, Dr. Pesta. Don't blame communism for killing, right? You know what? Don't blame Islam, Dr. Pesta, for the tens of thousands of deaths that Islam causes. But blame America across the board for the less than 5% of Americans who actually own slaves, right? And you see the double standard again. This is what's so, this is why our kids hate our country, because we do not show them the other side of things. It is not jingoism or patriotism to simply point out that slavery existed before and it's existed since. And in some cases, it was much worse than it was here.
Yep, it's exactly what happens in the courtroom. What if we only ever got to hear the prosecution and never the defense, or vice versa? That's what we're doing in this country all the time to our youth. We're telling them one side and not sharing the other. And it's not diminishing that there was ever an issue. It's saying there is more context here than what we ever care to give these kids. And we are doing them a disservice. We are not educating these kids properly, but because we're just not telling them the whole story. And I love what you just said. It's amazing.
Yeah, Islam has never formally disavowed slavery, never, in the sense that it takes place in its territories.
We'll be right back.
But we have.
Yep, exactly. We'll be right back. More on The Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
It was a courageous thing to do, but someone was already here.
In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. It was a courageous thing to do, but someone was already here. The Inuit and Cherokee, the Aztec and Menominee, Onondaga and the Cree. Columbus sailed across the sea, but someone was already here.
Okay, I have to stop that for a second. I have to actually, I welcome you back to The Kate Daly Show. But I want to, if you didn't catch that, the main theme of this Columbus song was this. And this is, these are the words to the song. In 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. It was a courageous thing to do, but someone was already here. That is the tagline of every single verse and every single chorus, but someone was already here. And Columbus sailed across the sea, but someone was already here. And then it named all of the different Indian tribes that were here. Man, if you did not listen to the first part of the show today, you're going to have to go get it on podcast and you're going to have to share the heck out of it. And I really do hope people share it. It'll be a quick 6-minute podcast of Dr. Duke Pesta telling you exactly what's up when it comes to our world, slavery in the past, what happened with all of these Native Americans, the truth of the story rather than the liberal line that you're getting right now. And I so appreciate him. He's right here with me on the show. And I appreciate all of his efforts in educating people because, man, do we have some work to do? Because somebody was already here, Dr. Duke Festa.
Yeah, and let me make a point. Look, none of this is done in anger or hate, right?
No.
That the Native Americans, it's funny, when you ask the average American to name a Native American, nine times out of ten, the only ones they can think of are warriors.
Right.
And that's not an accident. Native Americans were tremendously proud of their warriors, and they should have been.
Yes.
I mean, it's not a bad thing to be proud of your warriors and to be proud of those who fought for you and your people.
And we're not saying they weren't here.
No, that's right. No, of course, they were.
Yeah.
But you know what else was here? Rape was here, and oppression was here, and empire building was here, and slavery was here. And you aren't, in fact, it's the worst kind of liberal paternalism to pretend that Native Americans are these, you know, people who never did anything wrong. They just sat and like the kind of what Louis C.K. was mocking that idea in the opening, right?
Yes.
The invention of the environmentalist Indian. I mean, you think about Iron Eyes Cody, right? 1976 and those commercials where he's sailing down in his canoe and he's crying a tear.
Yes.
What people don't realize is Iron Eyes Cody is an Italian. He's not doesn't have any Indian blood in him, by the way. Just FYI, right? So there you go. But my point is that. It's okay to be proud of your soldiers and your warriors, and Native American culture was. And so I don't condemn them for that.
No.
I just get angry when you turn around and condemn Europe for its engaging in the same things you did, this pretend – and it's liberals who are primarily doing it, white liberals, people like Elizabeth Warren who are propagating this. They used to call it the myth of the noble savage, right? The idea that natives were – to 300 years ago when this was invented by John Dryden, actually, a poet in the 17th century, came up with the name noble savage – became a huge factor in Romantic Enlightenment culture. This idea that natives were good and pure and innocent and they hugged buffaloes and all that stuff. Nonsense. I mean, they were human beings and they left a big carbon footprint on the land, and they, to the degree they could with relatively primitive weapons, they killed a lot of each other. They killed a lot of other tribes. They enslaved a lot of people. They cut noses and ears off women and turned them into prostitutes when they conquered them from other tribes. And again, not every tribe did all of that, but then not every European's responsible for what the colonialists did here. So we've got to get back to a sense of common sense about this.
We have a caller for you. Go ahead, caller.
Dr. Pesta, do they teach human nature in college?
No, that's a great question, sir, and the answer is no. They scoff at the idea that there is anything like an essential human nature. It's one of the things they have deconstructed, right? Mm-hmm. That's why, sir, by the way, by getting rid of the idea that under the skin we all have something in common, by getting rid of that, that's how they justify reinscribing discrimination. Because a black person and a white person aren't no longer according to the left, we are no longer the same under the skin, therefore you can justify segregation. Give blacks their own dorms, give Native Americans their own graduations. One of the worst aspects of progressive ideological thought over the last 250 years is the idea that we are not the same under the skin. Mm-hmm. And you hit on something really important. It justifies racism from the left.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, this segues into a lot of different topics today. Even Trump accused of racism, even though he had a black girlfriend. I mean, it's getting into the ridiculousness. We've got Warren with all of her nonsense. We've got all kinds of things shaping up. Why out of this account of history that has been completely just annihilated in the form of making sure that the liberal progressive, their view of this history is told and nothing else, it has actually seeped into all kinds of issues that we have today.
Let me give you one really real-world example of this from right now. It's the way that the NBA has handled the China situation. Mm. Here you've got Greg Popovich, the smug liberal coach of the San Antonio Spurs. You've got Steve Kerr, the equally smug liberal coach. I believe it's the Golden State Warriors. Two just left-wing big mouths who are constantly interrupting basketball commentary to talk about what a monster and a dictator that Donald Trump is. Then you've got some of these woke black players same thing, right? The right. kneeling Colin Kaepernick's in football. About what did Trump? Trump's such a fascist and a thug. Okay, brave. Not, you know, nothing's going to happen to you in America for saying that. In fact, the left will lionize you. Now it turns out that when they actually encounter real, real bullies and thugs and destroyers, the communist government, when they discover real tyrants and dictators, mm-hmm. not only will they not criticize them, but they will abjectly apologize to them for having offended them. You know, Trump has never killed anyone the way the Chinese government has. Trump has never enslaved people and tortured them and set up gulags the way the Chinese government has. And yet they still refuse to condemn China. And whenever they're asked about China, Kerr and Popovich, they return to the, well, America's bad too. Right?
Right.
That kind of moral relativism is what this progressivism and this lack of understanding of history gets you.
Oh, amen to that. You know, it's relieving to understand and hear history as you tell it. Because I think that once you get such a grasp on this and once you get it in context, it makes all the difference in the world. And yes, the hyperbole and all of the just overblown exaggeration of Trump and what that's fed into, we don't know how to dial it back anymore. We're living in an extreme. And that we've talked about these extremes before, you and I. And those extremes are killing us as a nation. And they're killing our education. They're killing it.
Yes, they are. Marco Rubio came out the other day and blasted the left for its transsexual override, right? Mm-hmm. He basically came out, Martin, as a Christian, Marco Rubio, and said, so it's stop attacking Christians. It's okay to have a different worldview. And the progressive left response, he was pummeled with tweets, right, mm-hmm. was typical Christian who doesn't tolerate, right? So the left says that Christianity has to tolerate everything. But we don't have to tolerate Christianity, right?
Wow.
So to be a Christian to the left means anything goes, right? Yeah. Literally, the one thing that Christianity is not, which is an anything goes game, unless Christians behave that way, the left rejects them as intolerant. Meanwhile, the left is utterly and thoroughly intolerant of any aspect of Christianity that doesn't agree with them. And so, again, you see the double standard there, too. And this is what we're teaching our kids, that they're allowed to hate in the name of political correctness.
All right, so here's what I'm saying. Since we're getting rid of Columbus.
Their woke political values
right.
allows them, mandates that they hate people they disagree with.
Oh, so true, so true. I accidentally clipped on your speech. I apologize. For just a brief second there. I'll tell you what. I love that you are able to. Are you ever able to talk about any of this with kids?
I do it all the time at my university, and they don't know what to make of it. Real quick, I just got introduced Othello, the play Othello, to my junior and senior Shakespeare kids. Mm-hmm. It's a play, if you don't know it, that really takes place in the 15th century, and it's about an African man, Othello, who runs away from slavery at the hands of Islam to become a general in the Venetian army. And so I started that class by showing them a slide presentation of 400 years of Muslim conquest before you get to 1095. 1095 is the time of the First Crusade. And my kids all know that the Crusades were nothing but evil Christians conquering other people. What they don't know is that the Crusades were the result of 400 years of Islamic expansion and colonialism. It took 400 years for the Christian West to actually mobilize and fight back against Islam. And I show them year after year after year, from 650, the founding of Islam, all the way through 1095 when the First Crusade is preached, how many parts of the world Islam conquers. It conquered southern Spain, conquered southern Italy, conquered northern Africa, conquered Egypt and Jerusalem and Palestine and parts of India. All waging war and murdering people in their wake. 400 years of that, and then 1095, the Christians fight back. And what are the Crusades? Christians murdering people for no reason. That's what our kids are being taught.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about Howard Zinn and what he did to this whole movement.
Lunatic. Think about Saul mm-hmm. Alinsky with a master's degree in history, and
Ooh.
You have Howard Zinn.
Ooh, that's
Howard
brilliant.
Zinn in the 70s mm-hmm. wrote a nasty history textbook that blamed all viewing America exclusively through socialist Marxist lenses. And for 40 years, it was the dominant kind of textbook to this day that American kids, school kids get a view of American history from radical Marxist leftists.
Perfect. perfect. And there's so many people unknowingly that think of him as what? I mean, this, you know, that, like the person on the subject. Is that what they kind of made him out to be in his?
He is a lousy historian. He's partial where you're supposed to be impartial. He's political where you're supposed to be historical. He is not neutral. It is literally a propaganda view of American history. And that is the mainstream view that from kindergarten through college our kids are getting. Now, bigger leftists and more radical leftists have supplanted him. He's a little bit past, he's first wave Marxism, right?
Right.
The Marxism our kids are getting today is exactly what leads to this, right? Yeah. The what you started the show with, the Constitution calls Native Americans savages.
Yes,
and when asked to find it, she can't do it.
Right, that's so true.
Go back to what I said. Read a book.
Read a book, please. There's a new book called "Debunking Howard Zinn" that's out, and I'm glad to see these kinds of things. But the problem is that he reigned for so long that you talk about the generations that were affected by that. It's pretty sad.
Well, and that group, new book out by Mary Graybar, actually has a chapter about how Zinn slandered Columbus. I mean, she goes to a chapter-length book. She lays out in very great detail how the entire premise against Columbus, which was formulated first by Howard Zinn, is a complete lie based on what Columbus actually did and said, and how she had to lie and how Zinn had to lie and cover up things that Columbus actually said to get to the interpretation he wanted.
Oh, man. You know, I met a liberal. This liberal actually came to my house for dinner. He was a guest of a guest kind of thing. And we started talking after dinner. And I'll never forget him looking at me and saying, you know, I think we could actually probably find some common ground here. But I have to know what you think of Columbus. Because if you don't see him as the murdering, rapist, white European, then I don't know if I can actually find common ground with you. That's how indoctrinated we are on this subject. It's amazing.
And Columbus is actually an easy slam dunk case. And so he's already given, this is somebody who's never read a book, right? Because if you understood, I get it, that within 40, 50, 70 years of Columbus's arriving, the conquistadors, who are a totally different animal, did things that were pretty bad. Right. No doubt about it.
Right.
But that wasn't Columbus. And so to blame Columbus for all of that would be to blame Islam for what Islam does, which we're not allowed to do. Mm-hmm. It would be to blame communists for the 200 million dead in the name of socialism, which we're not allowed to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the double standard. If communism isn't responsible for the 200 million deaths of communism, if Islam isn't responsible for tens of thousands of deaths in the name of Islam, why is Columbus, who did not engage in any of those behaviors, responsible for what came after? And it's the double standard that's so maddening.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is. And that was, I remember just looking at him going, oh, no, because I don't agree with you at all. We're never going to make any headway on this, which is unfortunate because that's how much this story has permeated our mindset is. Well, this, I know this. No, we don't know. No, our populace doesn't know anything. I so hope that you share Dr. Duke Pesta's podcast on this as soon as I get it up after the show and put that on, because it's a quick 6 minutes. Share it with your kids. Let's get America educated, our children educated, so that when they educate their kids, they're telling them the truth and not this hell-bent, strange history story from the progressive leftists. I always really appreciate you. You've got to catch the Dr. Duke show.
Thank you very much. I love being on your show.
Milty.
Miss Uncle Milty.
Yes.
But I'm glad to have the extra time with you. See you next
week. Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Duke Pesta. The Dr. Duke Show plays right on the Kate Daly Show live. Actually, you can catch it live. And make sure you do as well right after this show. I think it's 3 or 4 times a week, so it's pretty awesome. All right. I'll be right back with Brian Hyde from Loving Liberty. And this is going to be a fantastic hour. You've got to join us. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.